Come tonight, 2 Kings chapter 4, to once again consider this dear widow who was really left with nothing. In verse 2 we read, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Here we have a dear woman who was at her wit's end. Last Lord's Day evening we considered this woman, as we've already reminded ourselves, this woman who bore a very heavy cross. She had lost her husband. She had lost everything she had. And she was about to lose her two sons. That was a heavy cross indeed. We considered her great poverty, her desperation, and her desolation. She had this heavy cross to bear, and she must bear it alone. We noted her destitution, for she had nothing. So tonight I want to consider this dear woman who was at her wit's end as to what to do. And tonight I want to consider the woman and her given plan. She was given a plan that would deliver her and bring her out of wit's end corner. Some dear people indeed have a heavy cross to bear. For others, they find themselves at that place often referred to as wit's end corner. And when we think of someone being at wit's end corner, I often think of the children of Israel. We read about them being at that very place, really at their wit's end. Over in Exodus chapter 14. "For they have been brought out of the land of Egypt." And we read in Exodus 14 and verse 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They were at their wit's end. They had encamped between Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. Pi-Hahiroth on one side, Baal-Zephon on the other, and behind them, Pharaoh's chariots and Pharaoh's armies and horsemen. They couldn't go forward, because in front of them was the wide expanse of the Red Sea. They were at their wit's end. There was no going back. There was no turning to right or left. There was no going forward. And they cried out to the Lord, and they cried out to Moses. And said, "Moses, why have you brought us here to die in the wilderness?" You see what they did? They lifted up their eyes. And they saw Pharaoh's armies. They couldn't see a way out of their predicament. Their eyes were upon Pharaoh and his pursuing army. There was nowhere to go. They were at their wits' end. But then the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came to their rescue. For you see, the Lord had planned it all. The Lord led them to that place. The Lord brought them to what the children of Israel believed was wits' end corner. And the Lord intervened, as he so often does, in our situation. And the Lord intervened here, and he made a way where there was no way. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. And here we have a dear woman in a similar situation. She's at her wit's end. She has no husband. She has no possession. She has no food. And very soon she would have no sons. All she had was a pot or a jar of oil. That's all she had in the house. But then once again, under Elisha, the Lord did for this woman what he had done for Israel. He made a way for the woman where there was no way. He undertook for her and met her need. Nothing in the house but a pot of oil. But the Lord intervened. Praise his name. I'm sure you can look back on the years of your life and you still remember those times when you were at your wit's end, but the Lord intervened. The Lord rolled the sea away and provided for you and for me and for us a way of escape and a way of deliverance. That's what the Lord did for this woman. And I want us to consider then this woman and her given plan. Notice first of all the challenge. Upon learning about the widow's plight, Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee?" Verse 2. Now the fact that Elisha said, "What shall I do for thee?" indicated his willingness to help the woman. And I'm sure those words, "What shall I do for thee?" must have sounded like music in her ears. Because she was in the place where she couldn't do anything for herself. And here was one who had come along and said to her, "What shall I do for thee?" Elisha came to this woman and he would be her Savior. And you know, dear believer, tonight the Lord has often come to us and said, "What shall I do for thee?" Indicating once again the Lord's willingness. Over in Luke chapter 18, we read those very words. For in Luke 18 and verse 41, Verse 40, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorify God. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? It indicated the Lord's willingness to help the blind man. And when Elijah said the same words to this woman, he was then saying to her, I'm here to help you. I want to help you. The Lord is always willing to help his people. Never doubt that. Never fear. The Lord is always willing to help, and he'll say to us and say to us again and again and again, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? How can I help you? And yet how slow we are to ask for his help. In the Lord Jesus, we have someone who was always ready to enable us to escape Wits End Corner. When we feel at times perhaps we cannot go on. Here was a woman and she felt she couldn't go on. What could she go on with? She had nothing but a pot of oil. And we're reminded of the words, when we have exhausted our store of endurance. When our strength has failed, or the day is half done. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love hath no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and he giveth again. He's always giving. And he says to us, what shall I do? That's what he gave to this widow woman. Through Elisha, he gave her hope and he gave her help. And the Lord Jesus gives hope to the one who looks to him, and he gives help to the one who trusts in him. When all seems lost and there's no way out of our difficulty, we're at wit's end corner and we look to him. We hear him say, when we look to Christ by faith, we will hear him say, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He's willing to help us. Then we can tell him all that is upon our heart. And then we can watch him make a way where there was no way. For when Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. He's still the same. He's the same God. And he's still saying to us, what wilt thou have me to do for thee? So we have the challenge. Elisha challenged the woman, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And then you have the command. The next question that Elijah asked was, "Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?" Two questions. One, "What shall I do for thee?" Second question, "Tell me what thou hast in the house." To which the woman replied, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Those are very sad words. This woman says, "I have nothing. I have nothing. Everywhere I look, I have nothing. Except I have in my house just a pot of oil." But then sometimes the Lord has to bring us to an end of ourselves. The Lord has to bring us to an end of ourselves. He has to bring us to wit's end corner. To let us see that our help can only come from the Lord. Because sometimes when we're at wit's end corner, we try to work our way out of it ourselves. We try to use our own skill. We try to use our own ability, and we work at it and we work at it until the Lord brings us to a place where we can go no further. And we have to look to Him, and we have to trust Him. The Lord sometimes brings us to that very place where we realize that we have nothing. And our trust must be placed completely in the Lord. That means that when deliverance comes, we cannot take any glory for ourselves. We cannot take any glory or praise. We will have to give God all the glory. So it was with Israel. When they came to the Red Sea, when the Lord rolled the sea away and Israel went over on dry ground, that was a miracle. And Israel went over on dry ground, and Pharaoh's chariots and horsemen came behind, and the sea enclosed them, and not one was seen. Now Israel had nothing to do with that. They were at their wit's end. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't go back. They couldn't turn to the right or the left, and they couldn't go forward. The Lord did it all. And when the Lord intervenes, when we are at our wit's end, and we don't know what way to turn, and we don't know how to go on, and we know we can't go back, the Lord then intervenes that He may have all the glory. If we could put our hand to the situation and bring about, or help bring about, our own deliverance, we would want some of the praise for ourselves, because we would say, "This is what I did. This is what I told Him. This is what I plan." But when we're brought to our wit's end and we can do nothing, we can do nothing. And the Lord comes, then the Lord is given all the glory. That's the way it ought to be. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 29, the Lord, Paul says, chooses the weak things, the base things, the things that are not, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. and the children of Israel had no room to glory in the flesh, because the Lord divided the waters. And for this dear woman, this widow, she had no room to glory either, because the Lord brought about her deliverance, and the Lord alone. So when the widow had declared to Elisha that she had nothing, Elisha uttered a command there in verse 3. Then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." That was the command. In fact, whenever you look at the command, you will see that Elisha told her to do five things. Five things he told her to do. First of all, he told her to borrow. He then told her to come into the house. He then told her to shut the door. He then told her to pour out the oil. He then told her to set aside the full vessels. Five things. We know, of course, five is the number of grace. And in this command, we see and behold the grace of God. The Lord delivered this woman from her predicament, delivered her out of her wit's end corner. And how did he do it? He did it according to his grace. It was by the grace of God that the widow was delivered. Sure we know. Sure we know that it is always by the grace of God that we are delivered out of our situations. Paul has reminded us that when we go to the throne of grace, listen, we find grace to help in our time of need. There's grace. Grace helps us in our time of need. And grace came to the aid of this woman. When we seek the Lord's help and we receive a command from the Lord, we must obey that command. Verse 3, then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels." Verse 5, so she went. He said, "Go," so she went. And there you have her compliance with Elisha's command. Notice that she never spoke a word. There's no record of her saying anything when Elisha told her what to do. When Elisha said, "Go," and told her what to do, it says she went. Not a word was spoken. She didn't ask the reason why. She didn't argue with him. She didn't doubt it. But we are told instead, so she went. Sometimes it is when we are at wit's end corner that we learn to obey the Lord's commands. We know that we must obey Him if we are to know deliverance. We cannot fail to obey Him. Why, whenever we're prospering and all is going well, and everything seems to be going for us, it is easy for to let things slip somewhat. And maybe we don't obey the Lord's word as we ought. And we let things slip. But when our deliverance depends upon our obedience to the Lord's word, then we will obey every thus saith the Lord. There will be no missing the Lord's word or missing His commandments. We'll do what the Lord tells us, because we know that our deliverance depends on that. John chapter 9. Here's a perfect example. In John chapter 9. And there we read about a man which was blind from his birth. And we read then in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, that is the Savior, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. There was the command. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. You see, obeying the Lord was necessary if this man was to be given his sight, and he knew that. His receiving his sight depended on his obedience to the Lord. And again, whenever we are in a situation and in a position of need, we will do whatever the Lord says. We will obey the thus saith the Lord. And so when Elisha said, go, we're told, and she went. So if the widow was to be lifted out of her poverty, then she must comply with the order that was given. That's what we must do. Not just whenever we're up against it. We have, as it were, our backs against the wall. And we're at wit's end corner. We're to obey the Lord at all times. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So far we have seen the widow and her great poverty. Then we have the widow and her given plan. Now in the last place we have the widow and the gracious provision. What Elisha told the widow to do, she obeyed. We're told that she went from him, shut the door, verse 5, upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She had nothing in the house but a jar or a pot of oil. And when their sons had brought all those vessels into the house, not told how many. Doesn't really matter. We don't need to know how many. Whether she had 50 or 100, the Lord could fill them all. Maybe that's why the Lord hasn't told us how many. because he could fill innumerable vessels. But now the prophet told her to borrow the vessels. These were containers which were much larger than this potter jar of oil. And he told her also, borrow not a few. And you'll look there in verse 3 and in your Bible margin, borrow not a few. It may be rendered, scant not. Don't skimp with the vessels. Go and get as many as you can possibly lay your hands upon. Don't hold back. Borrow as many vessels as you can. The very act of doing that was an indication God was going to do something quite wonderful. And again, she never questioned him. She just did what she was told. You look there at the third chapter of 2 Kings, something we've already covered in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Thus saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Fill this valley. Fill the valley. Full of ditches. Don't just dig one ditch. Fill this valley. Dig as many ditches as you can. As the Lord told the widow woman through Elisha, get as many vessels as you can. Because what the Lord did in the ditches, he filled them all with water. And so when it came to all the vessels, he filled every one of them with oil. Didn't matter how many ditches were dug. It didn't matter how many vessels were in the house. He could fill them all. That's what the Lord's able to do. Because what is the testimony? And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. Why don't we worry at times how we're going to make ends meet? Not only at home, but let's say in the church as well. But for the Lord to meet the need, it is but a light thing. The Lord can tell us, gather in as many vessels as you can find, because I'm going to fill them all. Fill this valley with ditches, because I'm going to fill them all with water. That's the Lord. That's what he's able to do. Really, when you think of it, this was a step of faith on the part of this woman. She was told to borrow as many as she could find. And indeed, when she had filled all the vessels she had, she told the sons to go and get more, and they said, well, there are no more. She gathered in all the vessels and never asked a question about it. And then she took that jar of oil and she started pouring. You know, that was a great step of faith. When the Lord, through Elisha, says, go and gather empty vessels. Well, what are we going to do with empty vessels? All I have is a pot of oil. But she took that step of faith, put her trust in the Lord, and glory to God, just as he filled the valley with water, so he filled the vessels with oil. That was some miracle. Can you imagine, let's say she had a pot of oil about that size and she turns it up and she starts to pour it out. And it doesn't stop. The little jar that she has doesn't empty. And she keeps pouring and pouring and pouring, and the jar does not empty. A miracle is taking place before her very eyes. A miracle is taking place in her own hands. A miracle before her very eyes. You see, it's true. Little is much when God is in it. A little pot of oil, a little jar of oil, little, but in the hands of Almighty God, that little became much. And the Lord has not changed. What he did for the widow, we know that he did for the multitude. The feeding of the 5,000 men and women and children. And I love that 6th chapter of John that describes it all. And the Lord challenged the disciples and said unto Philip, how are we going to feed the multitude? He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I love those words. He himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. There's the little pot of oil. 200 pennyworth of bread, just like the little pot of oil. It's not going to go very far. It wouldn't be enough even to give the multitude a little. The Lord commanded the disciples to tell the people to sit down. And the Lord took the loaves from the little lad, and a little lunch. Everything's little. And he took from the lad, and he took the lunch, and he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would, and when they were filled. We looked at the valley that was filled with ditches. And the Lord filled the ditches with water. And we have the woman and her pot of oil. And she started to pour out the oil, and he filled every vessel. He didn't half fill them. He didn't send any of the multitude home hungry, because we're told when they were filled. They ate until they were full. And then he told the disciples to go around with the baskets, and they filled, there's the word again, 12 baskets. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, this is the God we worship. This is our God. This is our Lord. This is our Heavenly Father. He doesn't deal in half measures. He doesn't deal in half-filled vessels. He doesn't send people away hungry. He fills the valley. He fills the vessels. And he fills the people. That's what our God is able to do. For the woman, the Lord rolled the sea away. When the Moabites came against Israel, they dug the ditches and the Lord rolled the sea away. Defeated the Moabites. when it came to this difficulty and Philip didn't know what they were going to do. He was at his wit's end. How are we going to feed this multitude? The Lord rolled the sea away. He removed the difficulty. He delivered Philip and the disciples out of wit's end corner. He did the same with Israel. He did the same with the children of Israel. He did the same for the woman. And praise God, He can do the same for us. Let's trust Him. Let us not doubt Him. He gave this woman her supply of oil. And it was a miracle. She saw it. Wrought a miracle before her very eyes. Just like the disciples. Remember, they're in the ship. And the storm blew up. And lo and behold, they thought they were going to drown. Did? Lo and behold, in the darkness, they saw the Savior coming. He didn't come to them in another boat. He came to them walking upon the sea. And He stilled the tempest. How often has the Lord come to us and brought us deliverance, and we have just simply said, it's a miracle. Now, we're not talking about any charismatic nonsense. We're talking about God's providential workings and power. The Lord has delivered us out of a situation that we have felt in our own hearts. How am I going to get out of this? But the Lord did it. You have the supplying of the oil and you have the staying of the oil. For when the widow had filled all the vessels with oil, we're told there in verse 6 that the oil stayed. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. Now, they must have been full to the brim. Must not have been able to put another drop of oil into them, because she went on to another vessel. And then another vessel. So she filled them all. And she said to her son, bring yet a vessel. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. You notice that? You notice the oil stayed when there were no more vessels. The oil didn't stop flowing while there were any vessels to be filled. And you see, believer, we can bring the Lord as many empty vessels. We keep bringing them and He'll keep filling them. The only time He will stop filling the vessels is when we have no more vessels to bring. If this woman had had another 100 vessels, the Lord would fill them too. Luke 6, verse 38. We've quoted these words often. If we give on to the Lord gives good measure. Good measure. Oh, He does. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Because out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth. And giveth again. He's always giving. The only thing the Lord takes from us is our sin. And He gives us joy and He gives us happiness and He gives us according to His riches in glory. And he will keep giving until every vessel is filled. And you have the selling of the oil. The oil stead in verse 7, then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. See? He always gives us more than what we ask for. Elisha says, go and sell the oil and pay thy debt. Well, that would have saved her son's been taken from her. That would have solved that problem. But no, the Lord always gives more. Because he said, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The Lord is good all the time. All the time, the Lord is good. And he delivered this woman out of wit's end. He's able to do the same for us today. Whenever we find ourselves at wit's end corner, the Lord will say to us, what wilt thou have me to do for thee? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Loving and eternal God, we thank thee. The encouragement we receive from thy truth. We can truly say our God is real. Our God is the God of miracles. And oh Lord, we just think of this woman standing there. Lord, in her home, in the bleakness and the barrenness, turning over that pot of oil and pouring and pouring and continue to pour until every vessel was filled and she saw God working a miracle before her very eyes. Lord, come. As the God of miracles. And Lord, do a great work for us also. Fill our vessels, Lord. And fill every vessel that we bring to thee. Every need. We know, Lord, thou art able to meet. Whatever an empty vessel may represent. And, oh Lord, thou canst fill it. Thou can meet the need. Praise thy name. O Lord, we pray that thy word will be hidden deep within our hearts. Lord, now thou will be with us as we part the one from the other. It's been good to be in thy house today. It always is to be in thy presence, to be with God's people. Now, Lord, may thy hand be upon us as we part the one from the other. Keep us near the cross throughout the week. Bless us, Lord, next Saturday evening. Give us a blessed time. And, O Lord, may we ever look to thee and acknowledge thy great goodness. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, for good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.